This is Mother's Day, and the name of the message today is The High Purpose of Womanhood. The High Purpose of Womanhood. There was a teacher at a second grade classroom, and she brought out a magnet, and she taught the kids in the class all about the magnet. You know what the magnet does. And so the next day, she had it on another quiz. She put the magnet on another quiz, and the question went like this. Hi, my name has six letters, and it begins with M, and I pick up things. Who am I? Half of the kids wrote down mother. And they all got an A on the paper, too. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. George Washington. All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they always have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Abraham Lincoln. From my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe I could make them come true. Ronald Reagan. Today, I want to go ahead and pull out your notes. You can see the word there, easer, helper. Genesis 2:18 says, Then the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Genesis 2:20 says, The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. This word helper is the word easer. The people really brought it to the forefront of recent days is Stacy and John Eldridge in the book Captivating. Because most of the time, the use of the word helper is describing God. Psalm 33:20, Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help, easer, and our shield. Psalm 70, verse 5, But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help, my easer, come? My help, my easer, comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So what we see, as they broaden the definition out, and I felt quickened about this today to really camp on this, is the word heroine. When the hero in the story comes, when you look up the definition for the woman hero, the heroine, it's a woman who of distinguished courage or ability, admired for her brave deeds and noble qualities. A heroine is the principal female character in a story, so her role is pivotal to the success of the plot. Isn't that wonderful? And I have an easer in my life. Her name is Heather. And there are many, many times that I have been challenged, shaped by the Holy Spirit's help through my wife. Any man who doesn't listen to his wife, I pity him. Because God is seeking to do things often. Even if there's a broken filter, there can be a right perspective when it comes to the shaping work of the Holy Spirit. Is that right or not? That's right. And so we give honor. And I'm looking at this and thinking in terms of three women in the Old Testament that I want to camp on here, just in telling a little bit of their story. And enjoy the ride with me, if you would. So women of God inspire us. What do they inspire us to do? Well, the first one, they inspire us to believe. That's our first fill in the blank. They inspire us to believe, if you're taking the notes. We don't ever know her name, but she was a Shunammite. And she was not called mommy right off. In fact, What we do know about her is that she had a spiritual hunger. And she was of another people near Israel, but she had a craving for God. And whenever Elisha and Gehazi, his servant, would come by, she would spot them on the road and invite them in for dinner or lunch or breakfast. She was always reaching out to them with food. She wanted to feed the prophet of God and the servant of the prophet. And for some strange reason, we heard amens right over here. And then as time went by, she talked with her husband and said, "Why don't we build a room on the roof so anytime they come by, they can stay here. We'll make a little room addition. Put a bed in it, a lamp, a desk, and a chair, and have it for them." And you know, it became a pattern that Elisha and Gehazi would come and stay with the Shunammite woman. And then one day, as they were in their room, Elisha says to Gehazi, "I wonder what she has need of." And they begin to chew on the idea and think about it a little bit. So he said, "Go get her." And then she comes in and says, "Is there anything I can do? Like, get this. Give a word, a good word in your name to the commander of the army." And she says, "No, that's not necessary. I dwell among my own people." So she leaves. That didn't hit it. Gehazi says, "Hey, her husband is older, and she is without a child." And it hits Elijah's heart. He says, "Bring her in." And she looks at her. Says, "By this time next year, you will have a son." The Shunammite woman, apparently this was also a deep need, and she looked at him and she said, "Don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to me." And she received within the year, she gave birth to a son. And so as the days went by and the years rolled by, he grew up. And one day he was out in a field with his dad working. And the boy started saying, "Oh, my head, my head." And the father sent the servant to go get the mom. They take him back to the house. The boy sits in the mom's lap for a little while and dies around noon, passes away. So she takes the body of the boy and puts him on the bed in the special room made for Elisha. And then she says to her husband, sends the servant to her husband. Husband says, "Is everything okay?" She says, because she sends word, "I want to get a donkey and a servant, and I want to go visit Elisha. Well, is everything okay?" Listen to the words of this woman. "All is well." She didn't say, "Well, he's dead." She didn't say that. Some women inspire us to believe. She'd been hanging around the prophet long enough where she learned how to control her tongue. This is a godly woman who had hosted the prophet and come to pick up on some values about the way speech works. And said to her husband, "All is well." Everybody say, "All is well." And then she got on the donkey with the servant and took off. Now, I've been to Mount Carmel. You can see for years. You can see a long way from Mount Carmel. You can see and see and see. Well, he's up there. And he said, he looks and he sees the Shunammite woman. And she's coming. And he says to Gehazi, "Go down and ask her if all is well with her husband, and her children, or her son." Gehazi takes off, goes up and says, "Is all well with your husband, with your son?" And she declares again, "All is well." And then she comes to Elisha. She falls down on her knees and grabs his feet and begins weeping. She's crying and crying and crying. Elisha says to Gehazi, "Grab my staff, go to her house." And says, "The Lord has not shown me what's going on, but I see now. Take my staff and run to her home. Don't let anybody stop you. If anybody says, where are you going, just ignore it. Run straight to the house and put my staff on the boy's head. And he takes off. And then Elisha begins going with the woman. And they take off. They get to the house. Gehazi, the boy's still, let's just say, asleep. He's not there. Elijah goes in with Gehazi and begins praying in circles around the room, walking around the room. And then Elisha gets on top of him, arm to arm, face to face, just laying on, breathing in him, eyeball to eyeball, breathing. He gets up, walks around the room some more, praying and praying and praying. Gets back on him again. This time, warmth comes into his flesh. The boy suddenly sits up and sneezes 7 times. It says, here he is. Hands back to his to the Shunammite woman. Sometimes you need to go the distance with belief. Sometimes you need to guard your mouth. Isn't that right? Sometimes there are people in our life that go, ah. We need to learn from the examples of people of faith instead of declaring everything that's wrong, because we don't walk by sight. If we're people of faith, we walk by the promises of God. We walk by faith in Him. Is that right? It's living the promises in here. Everybody said amen? How many of you, yeah, no matter what's going on, how many of you found out that your brain really gets a workout on the visuals? We could go off on that, but I'm not. I'm going to just continue walking through the stories here. Women of God inspire us to hope. By the way, how many of you need to be strengthened in your faith? Are there people in your life that bring that to you, that says that they help you walk that way, to help you think that way? We need them. We need to be the people. I think we need to have a sign up. I will have the characteristics of the Shunammite, who was called Mommy. Let's look at the next one, the hope. The cycle of the history of Israel was up and down, up and down, up and down. The very beginning of the book of Judges says that everybody, you know, was a law unto himself. So basically what happened is the people would rise up and sin against the Lord, and the Lord would deliver them into the hand to captivity under a nearby foreign king. Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, they had really messed up bad, so they put him under Jabin. And Jabin had this commander. His name was Sisera. He had 900 chariots. And apparently he was quite the bully, because he oppressed the people of Israel for 20 years. Come on, everybody. 20 years. We're getting tired. 900 chariots, they're coming through. Bully, bully, bully. Sisera is one bad dude. Well, about this time, we have a judge in the area, and she, this is amazing. She has her own palm tree, Deborah's palm, known as the mother of Israel. And she sits under the palm tree, and people come from all around asking for her to make judgments and to declare things to them. She's a prophetess. She speaks the word of the Lord to people. She teaches the way of the Lord. So Deborah sits under the palm tree. One day, she says, go get Barak. Barak comes down, says, I want you. She looks at him. He's a soldier. The commander says, hasn't the Lord told you to go get 10,000 men from Naphtali and Zebulun and bring them down to Mount Tabor to go against Sisera? Apparently, the Lord had already told the man. How many of you have the Lord come along and confirm something you're rather nervous about at the moment? But here's the deal. There's oppression and there's hope coming. And somebody's got to prophesy hope. Hope is a preferred picture of the future. Somebody's got to get the hope in the room. Somebody's got to get the hope in the heart. Isn't that right? So he prophesies to him and he says, well, Barak's kind of like, maybe, if you've been beat up for 20 years, you're probably not all excited about going off to the battle. The guy's got 900 chariots, you know. This could be rough. And she says, he says, will you go and get the men? He says, well, I'll go if you go. And she says to him, well, the glory of the battle, I said, you know, God's going to give the enemy into your hand, but the glory of the battle is going to be put into the hand of a woman. The victory is going to be put into the hand of a woman. It wasn't Deborah. So they go off. Now, up on Kadesh, this area where the Jabin, the king of Canaan is, and this area, there's this all this area up there. Well, there's this guy named Heber. Heber is he's a descendant from Moses' father-in-law. So he's kind of friends up there with Jabin. So there's they're a peaceful relationship. And he has a wife. Her name is Jael. Everybody say Jael. Oh, watch out for Jael. So, because hope is on the way. So what happens is they bring the 10,000 men down to the Kishon River at Mount Tabor. They hear of it. Here comes Sisera with his 900 chariots. And Deborah stands up and says, today the Lord has given them into your hands. And the Holy Spirit's warring presence begins to manifest. And they rise up. And these 10,000 men start to put the whooping on the 900 men with the chariots. And the day goes and the day goes and the day goes. And Sisera runs out of there. Sisera, the commander of the army, under Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, takes off running. He's running home, basically. He's got to get out of there. He comes up on a tent. And Jael says, hey, don't be afraid. Come in here. Come in here to my tent. And he runs into her tent and she covers him up with a rug. He says, hey, I'm thirsty. He says, can I get some water? She's got, well, I got some milk. So she gives him some milk and he says, if anybody comes to the door, tell them that I'm not here, okay? He says, okay. Then he's exhausted. So she goes and gets a tent peg and a hammer. And she goes over and puts it on his temple and she drives it in. And Sisera is a dead man because Jael is a striking woman. She knew how to hammer a point home, didn't she? And what happens, she hammered home, and what happens is that as she steps out, and here comes Barak, he's running down there, and she steps out and says, I know who you're looking for, he's in here. And the glory of that battle is in the scriptures with the Jael. Hallelujah. But then guess what? Hope rose. And they went out and they defeated Jabin, the king of the Canaanites. Took back their place. I think we need the inspiration of women who will go the distance to defeat depression and oppression in every form. And I think they're in this room. When it's not necessarily your battle, that you'll step into a situation and do the praying and do the things in the authority of the name of Jesus and bring victory to people and bring hope and bring a turnaround. Because that's why she's there. You notice these light bulbs? We have electricity in the room. Isn't that nice? We wouldn't have it without Thomas Edison's mother. Thomas Edison came home with a note from his teacher, handed it to his mother. She opened it and read it. It says, your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him. She wrote a note back. You do not understand, my boy. I will teach him myself. And at the knee of Mrs. Edison, he learned, just like these other men we quoted earlier, that he could do stuff. And he got it in himself to invent. We have electricity because of Thomas Edison's mommy, who had hope and a future and believed in her boy. Let's speak uplifting words. Amen? Because every person is smart in some way. Every person is a genius in their own realm. I like to kid around with some in here because I do have some in-house geniuses in here. We'll get off on that right now, but there's just a work of excellence that comes out in certain places. We all need the encouragement. Amen? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what. Getting signs and wonders. Let's look at the next godly women who inspire everybody. Ready?
Yes.
Love. Inspire us to believe. Inspire us to hope. Hope is so necessary. It's so necessary. And love is that undergirding work of it all. Because real love bears all things. Real love believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Is it right? This is an interesting name. Jochebed. Jochebed was Moses' mom. What happened is, the days came back in the time of Egypt when after Joseph had died. Joseph was a big guy, and that's a whole other story. But after he passed away, the Israelites were there, and they just kept growing and kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. The Pharaoh rose up and said, "Okay, this is enough. These guys are going to outnumber us. We got to deal with this." He told the midwives to take the little, if it's a baby boy, take him down and throw him in the river and drown him. You know what they would say? Midwives. This is the coolest stuff. The midwives go, "But though the Israeli women are so vigorous that they give birth before we arrive." In other words, they pop out and have babies before we get there. Come on. But their fear of the Lord is greater than their fear of Pharaoh. And that's the same thing with Jochebed, too. Jochebed is such a lover of her children. I don't know when the rule or decree came, but because she had Aaron, as an older son who you know later, she understood that she was raising leaders. And Miriam, she had that in her heart. She knew something's going on. And when Moses was born, she saw that this was a beautiful child. And so she said, "I'll put him in the river." She built a waterproof basket. She made it. She obeyed. She put him in the river, floating. He's not going to drown. And then Miriam watched, and the little basket floated along, and came up where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing with her maidservants. She opens the basket. Little baby Moses, who at that moment was a basket case, because he was crying and crying and crying and crying. And Miriam pops her heads out of the weeds and says, she wants to keep the baby. When Miriam sees this, she goes, would you like me to go get a nursemaid from the Israel camp and to take care of him for you?" She said, "Yes, I want this baby." Get this. She paid this woman. It was Jochebed. She made money being the nursemaid. And you know what she did? Because it says when he was a child, he quit weaning. Usually, you know, weaning can happen between 2 and 3 years old. It can go on to 5. It's a child instead of a baby. So there's some thinking that maybe he was 4 or 5, sat on his mother's knee, receiving his identity, who he was, because he never let go of that. And when the day came, he went and was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. And of course, what had gone in. So she was unselfish. She had a sense of the calling on him. Is it good? She was thinking in terms of covering him in safety. This is what love does. And she was sacrificial. She took care of him and sowed the seeds. We need women that will think in terms of helping kids, loving kids. Don't you think so? Because there's a lot of them out there, aren't there? A lot need the love of God. I remember when my mom was teaching and impressing my heart with love. I've shared this before, but I remember the day, some of you may not know this, my mom went and got a truck, pickup truck. Of course, we had a pickup truck. I don't know how many we had. We had plenty of them. As a kid, I was I learned to drive a truck when I was like 10 or 12 years old. So, you know, we'd just, drive through the woods and slide and stuff and, you know, ram in the trees, bam, you know. We're out collecting firewood. She pulls the truck up and says, come on, let's go load the furniture in the truck. So we go in the house. What are we doing with the furniture, Mom? We're putting our furniture in the truck. She says, we're getting some new furniture, but we want to bless somebody. I'm this teenager, just, I don't know, 14, maybe 15. We drive down the road to some very poor people's house. My mother pulls up. Hi. I don't think she knows him. But they're sitting on the front porch on crates. Old shanty type beat down house. You should have seen their eyes light up. I'll never forget it. It's like, could you use a couch and a coffee table and some chairs? I felt like $1 million. Helping my mom move that couch in those people's house. Love. Sacrificial. Generous. Most people throw it away. Most people don't think, who has need? Is it right? A godly mother inspired me to see, you have things that people need. Think in terms of that. I got to marry a woman like that. There are men in here wearing my shirts and ties because it comes around where we time to give it away and we just sew it. Because I wish I didn't outgrow it. I don't even like that thought. One guy came up to me and years ago he said, man, I really like that tie, because he knew he was going to get it. Come on up to the keyboard, Martha. Would you close your eyes and lift your heads to the Lord? We prayed this earlier. Continue this song. Lord, we just ask for the healing ointment of your presence, filling up every heart. Come now. I think many of you, there can be a flood of memories of very good ones, and the Lord wants to enrich your heart with the happy thoughts and the good things that have occurred. If you allow the Lord, He'll outweigh the good things from the bad things. Even the worst situations, there's things that are positive, and the Lord wants to highlight those. I sense Him impress me that He wanted to bring joy to the forefront of your heart. We allow Him to do that. Sometimes we can script a whole season of our life as a big negative thing. Let the Lord come and erase that. Let Him come and erase that and say, and let Him pour something fresh into your heart relating to your relationships. Can you do that? Listen, I'm not saying He resolves everything. I'm just saying the Lord has a way to bless you that's beyond where you're at. He has the ability to do things that are the things that He does, being the God He is. When you open your heart to Him, He touches it. When He touches it, it changes. When things are given to Him, things that we've resisted to give to Him because of the hurt, shame, pain, whatever, when we hand it to Him, He's Jesus Christ. And He does indeed, truly make all things beautiful in His time. It's as we are learning who He is and how He does what He does with us. Let's praise Him just a little bit here. Praise You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the ointment of Your grace. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Now the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in His wonderful name. Father, we thank You for Your blessing. We thank You for the impact of Your love over our life. We thank You, Lord, in this congregation, those who carry that love and impart it to others. We pray for the ongoing healing and transformation of every heart to be indeed a heart that carries the deposit of healing grace from one to another. All hindrances removed and the fullness of Your life in us manifesting. We ask, Lord, for that to continually grow in the fullness of what You have for us as Your people. In the name of Jesus, amen.